things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
In our previous segment, we reviewed the prophecy where Islam is specifically described in the Bible. We also asked the question, will Islam rule the world, and will the Antichrist be a Muslim? In order to answer this question, we analyze the prophecy of Revelation 17, which describes in detail the world government as it will be during the final 3.5 years immediately preceding the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus to the earth. We proved that the world government of the end time will be composed of Great Britain, Russia, Germany, and the other countries of Europe. We demonstrated that the power base of the Antichrist will be the reborn Holy Roman Empire, not Islam. We also explored what will happen to Islam as a result of the Euphrates River War that the prophecy in Revelation 9, 13 through 16 says will kill one-third of mankind. Also, in our previous segment, we considered the possible role of China in the war that kills one-third of the human race. According to the prophecy, approximately 2.3 billion people will be killed in the coming war. The population of Islam and the United States combined does not equal 2.3 billion. Furthermore, there's evidence that at least a portion of Islam and most of the U.S. will survive the war. Consequently, we explore the possibility of China becoming a central participant in the deadly war that will annihilate one-third of mankind. We concluded that this is highly likely since China is the number one threat to America's global leadership in the 21st century. Furthermore, China, as large and powerful as she presently is not mentioned in the prophecies describing the world as it will be in the last days. In this segment, we will discover the role of the United States in the Euphrates River War. We will also discuss what world event could possibly ignite this war that will be the worst war of all human history? Finally, we will explain the prophecies that allow us to know for sure where the Antichrist will come from. So, our first question is, will the U.S. be involved in the Euphrates River War? It's pretty obvious that we will be, since the U.S. is a central player throughout the Middle East today. To say the least, we have 50,000 troops stationed along the Euphrates River as I speak. We have 100,000 troops in Afghanistan, a total of 230,000 troops in the Euphrates River basin. We are the dominant military force of the Middle East right now around the Euphrates River. Are we going to be involved? I wish we were not going to be, but I see no chance that we're not going to be. We're going to be involved. Furthermore, the United States has greater military power than any other nation on earth. We have the firepower to kill one-third of mankind. Okay. Now, let's look at what the trigger could be, because we know there's things boiling right now. But what could the trigger be for this war that's going to kill one-third of mankind? We know the dispute over Iran has been raging for several years now. Iran is attempting to develop nuclear power. We believe, and most of the nations of the world believe, she's trying to develop a nuclear weapon. However, Iran's leaders also have said that Israel's going to be wiped off the map. Consequently, Israel regards the possession of a nuclear weapon by Iran as an existential threat. Israel says, we cannot tolerate it. We cannot allow them to have one nuclear bomb because we're a one-bomb nation. One bomb on Tel Aviv will make the entire nation of Israel uninhabitable. And every time Mr. Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, says Israel's going to be wiped off the map, and he has said it over and over and over again, every time he says that, Israel hardens its resolve, no matter what it takes,
We will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Furthermore, the United States has said that they will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. If there is an attack on the nuclear facilities of Iran, Iran says that will unleash World War III. They claim they have sleeper agents in the United States of America that can detonate dirty nuclear bombs and destroy whole American cities. I don't know whether they have that or not. I'm merely quoting from what they claim to have. Now, right now, we're watching Iran grow in power and influence. They're controlling more and more of the oil of the Middle East. We've recently seen the fall of the government in Lebanon, and the agent of Iran is Hezbollah. Iran funds Hezbollah. They just brought down the government in Lebanon, and they have replaced the prime minister there with a prime minister of the choosing of Iran. Furthermore, we've also seen Iran moving into Gaza. They are in alliance with Hamas. They fund Hamas. That's in southern Israel. Now then, Egypt's government has been toppled, and it certainly looks like Islam has taken over there. We're watching revolution in Libya, in Bahrain, in Yemen, and many other countries. So we're watching the influence of Iran growing, growing. Furthermore, we did Iran a great favor when we went into Iraq and took out Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein had been fighting against Iran for about 8 years. They had an eight-year war because Saddam Hussein was Sunni Muslim and Iraq is Shiite Muslim. Well, we went in and removed Saddam Hussein. We took out the Sunni faction, and we put the Shiites in control because they're the majority in Iraq. But in so doing, we created a natural ally there for Iran. And the United States says that she will be leaving Iraq in about 10 months. Now, if we do that, everybody believes that Iraq will invite Iran to come in and occupy the military bases that the United States of America has built, and that we will see Iranian missiles installed on the bases in Iraq aimed at Jordan, at Israel, and at the U.S. military bases that are scattered throughout the Middle East. Now, that's the scenario that's developing right now. Furthermore, when the price of oil goes up, at what level can the United States not tolerate it anymore? Will it be $150 a barrel, $175 a barrel, $200 a barrel? It looks like that Iran is becoming the kingmaker of the Middle East right now. And the United States could very well be given a choice: go to war or become a third-rate country without Middle Eastern oil. I mean, if oil gets to $200 a barrel, the wealth of America will just go like a sucking sound into the Middle East. We're already in bad financial shape. And if that would happen, it would be absolutely the end of the United States of America as we know it. So would we allow that to happen, or would we go to war first? I'm just talking about some of the possible scenarios. It may be none of the above. Something else may break out. All I'm telling you is that it looks like the present Islamic revolution, the present revolution sweeping through the Middle East, it looks like it's leading to the prophesied war of Revelation chapter number 9. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, but the revolution in the Middle East right now has nothing to do with Islam. However, the leaders of Iran do not agree with that. On February the 4th of 2010, the Ayatollah Khomeini, the highest authority in Iran, Iran's supreme religious leader, declared that Tunisia and Egypt, that those protests are an Islamic awakening. Mr. Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, said this is a global revolution. Speaking about the present Islamic revolution sweeping through the Middle East, this is a global revolution managed by the Imam of the Ages. He predicted the formation of a world government ruled by the 12th Imam. Now, Muslims believe in a Mahdi, which would be like the Messiah. They also call him the 12th Imam. They claim, and Mr. Ahmadinejad believes this, that he showed up 1,000 years ago, but he went into isolation, and he's been there for 1,000 years. Some believe he's down in a well hiding himself or somewhere else. But they believe that he will soon be manifested. Listen to what Ahmadinejad said. He said, hearts and beliefs are swiftly leaning toward forming a global government and the necessity of the rule of the perfect human linked to the heavens. That's what Mr. Ahmadinejad believes. They both believe that the revolution we're seeing sweep through the Middle East right now is leading up to Islam ruling the world under the authority of the 12th Imam. Next question, how about Egypt? Egypt's been a fast ally of the United States and of Israel since the peace agreement was signed in 1979. But what's going to happen now? Will Egypt become Islamic? After the government of President Mubarak was overthrown, 1 week later, the Sunni cleric Yusuf al-Qaradawi was allowed to return to Egypt after 30 years of exile. On February the 17th of 2011, he preached jihad in Egypt's Tahrir Square. That's the place where they had all the demonstrations that has captured the imaginations of the world over the recent times. He preached in Tahrir Square to a cheering crowd of close to 1 million. They built this huge platform to speak from. Other people wanted to build their platform so they could give their opinion, but none of it was allowed. No other political group was allowed to speak except this cleric who represents the Muslim Brotherhood. He called for the opening of the Egypt-Gaza border and the liberation of Al-Aqsa, which is the Temple Mount, and all of Palestine. He believes Israel should cease to exist, that Israel should be driven into the sea. What's happening in Tunisia? The Tunisian interim government has pardoned all terrorists. Now thousands of Tunisians have turned out to welcome Rashid Ghannouchi, the exiled leader of Ennahda, which is the country's Muslim Brotherhood. So the same thing is happening, whether we're talking about Iran, Iraq, Egypt, Tunisia. It is sweeping through the Middle East right now. We have to ask this question. I want to go back to this because it's important. How long will the United States of America tolerate Islamic extremists controlling the world's oil? Let's just say oil hit $200 a barrel. Gas is now $7, $8 a gallon at the pump. And all of this money is shifting to the Middle East, and America has to borrow to pay for the oil. So will the U.S. have to choose? Will the time come that we will have to choose between national bankruptcy or war? Well, let me tell you, it wouldn't be the first time that a war has been fought over oil. Iran's president Ahmadinejad believes a world war is inevitable. It is among Islamic belief, among those who believe in the 12th Imam, that just before he reveals himself, that there will be a massive world war. Ahmadinejad believes he's called to get Iran ready, to beef up Iran militarily and financially, to fight this war. He thinks it's inevitable. Well, if you believe war is inevitable and you push up the price of oil and the U.S. threatens you with war, you say, well, that's inevitable. It's going to come, and that's going to speed up the revelation of the Mahdi. Okay. Again, these are some of the factors that are working right now. You can read about all this for yourself. But whether the war is triggered by these scenarios or perhaps another, there's one thing for certain, set in stone in the scriptures, World War III is in fact coming. Now we come to the interesting question that everybody's wanting to know. There have been books written about it recently. Will the Antichrist be a Muslim? We can prove from scripture whether he will or won't be. There's a prophecy about the Antichrist in Daniel chapter number 7, starting with verse number 7. There's four beasts here. It talks about the fourth beast. It says it was diverse from all the beasts, all the nations that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now, it says in this passage that these 10 horns are 10 kings. You can look it up in chapter 7. It says it. It explains it for us. We don't have to guess. These 10 horns are 10 kings. So Daniel said, I watched these 10 horns representing these 10 kings, and there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. So he sees 10 horns, another one comes up, uproots three. So there's 10 kings, and one king comes up and displaces three. And in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man and a mouth speaking great things. Skipping to verse 21. I beheld, and the same horn, the little horn that came up, the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, until Jesus Christ came. Well, we know this, the Antichrist is going to make war against the saints during the Great Tribulation all the way up until Jesus Christ comes back. It says, and then judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possess the kingdom. We know when Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. So these 10 horns are 10 kings that will arise in the very near future. Now, there's one more thing we need to know. Who are these 10 horns? Can we identify them in the world? Could they be Islamic? Who are they? We can answer for certain. There's one more prophecy that tells us. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 2, there is an image. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he saw this image with a head of gold, arms and breasts of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet and toes of iron and clay mingled. Now, Daniel, the prophet, interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. He said, you and your kingdom of Babylon, you're the head of gold. Now, each of these segments of this statue represent empires that will rule the world. There are five of them. Study your history. From the time of Babylon, there have been five empires that have obtained world dominion. So the first one was Babylon. It was toppled about 538 BC. Then came the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, symbolized by the arms and breasts of silver. The Medes and the Persians then ruled the world from 538 BC until around 331 BC. Then came Alexander the Great at the head of his Grecian empire. He's represented as the belly and thighs of brass, and then Greece ruled the world from 331 BC until about 197. That's when the Roman Empire displaced the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire is symbolized by the legs of iron. The Roman Empire was the strongest empire, and it was the longest empire, 500 years from about 197 BC until around 300 AD. That's the empire, the world empire, that ruled the world during the time of Jesus Christ. That's the reason there were Roman soldiers at the crucifixion, is because that was ruling the world at that particular time. Now, all this is so important. Notice that the legs of iron are the Roman Empire. And as we have moved from one section of this statue to the other, there's always a total change of metal. We go from gold to silver to brass to iron mingled with clay. So this is the only time when you move from the legs of iron to the feet of iron mingled with clay, it's the only time that an element of the previous empire has been carried over. Why? It's very important because the Roman Empire ceased to exist about 300 AD, but another empire came along which then dominated the world. It was born in 800 AD when Pope Leo III put the crown on the head of Charlemagne, saying, I now pronounce you emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. So the Roman element was retained. That's the reason there's iron in the feet and the toes. But another element was added in, the clay, representing the religious element. For the next 1,000 years, Europe was ruled by this alliance between the political element and the religious element. Now, this is what we see back in Revelation 17. We see the recreation of the Holy Roman Empire, by the way, which is happening in our world right now. But let's look really close at the feet and the toes of iron mingled with clay, the Holy Roman Empire. In particular, verse 44 talks about the 10 toes. Remember, we're asking, what are the 10 horns? Well, the 10 horns rule up until the second coming of Jesus, and they actually make war against the Lamb when he comes. That's Revelation 17. Well, these 10 toes also are in power until the second coming of Jesus, because the 10 horns and the 10 toes symbolize the exact same thing. Notice what it says in verse 44 of Daniel 2. And in the days of these kings, what kings? The 10 kings symbolized by the 10 toes. Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now notice Islam is not here. It's iron mingled with clay. It's a revived Holy Roman Empire. After World War III, the world is going to be devastated, burying 2.3 billion people. And the center for world power is going to shift from where it is right now, from the United States of America and from the Middle East. It's going to shift to Europe. It appears that Europe may sit out the war. I don't know for sure. But nevertheless, they're going to survive the war, and they're going to be stronger than ever. Europe has passed the United States of America economically already. Today, the European Union has 27 member nations with 500 million people. We only, in the United States, have 315 million people. And their economy, 2 or 3 years ago, passed the economy of the United States of America. So even though people don't realize it yet, Europe has once again become the world's number one economic power. And these 10 kings are going to have the power of Europe behind them. And it says that in the days of these kings, will Jesus Christ come back? You actually see in the vision there in Daniel chapter 2 that a stone representing Jesus Christ and his kingdom comes rolling down out of the mountain, smites the image on the feet, and the whole system of world government comes down. And that's when the kingdom of God replaces the kingdom of human government. And the days of these last 10 kings in the revived Holy Roman Empire, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that will never pass away, never be destroyed, and it will stand forever. Okay, what do we know for sure then? We know that the extra horn came up among the 10, came up among these 10 horns, which is the same thing as the 10 toes. So it has to come up among the iron mingled with clay, which is the Holy Roman Empire. That's what Europe is right now. In Europe today, if you want to enter the European Union, you have to go to the Charlemagne building named after the first emperor of the Holy Roman Empire to negotiate, to make your application and to negotiate terms of interest. That's how far along we are right now. Okay, so let's see what all this means. What will the world look like after World War III? Well, the Center for World Power will have shifted to Europe, as I've said. And most of Christianity, Protestant and Catholic, will align themselves with this one world government. They will be deceived by it. The false prophet will lead them into this alliance. The Antichrist and the false prophet will rule the world. It will once again be a union of politics and religion. It'll be the strongest political leader from Europe, and it will be the spiritual leader heading all of Christianity, but from Italy. And the mark of the beast will be used to force allegiance to the one world government and the one world religion. It describes it in Revelation 13. Everybody will be forced to take a mark or a number. And you can't get your mark or number unless you worship the beast, unless you pledge allegiance to the one world government, the Antichrist, and the one world religion. Because they're going to say, nations cause conflict and they cause war. So we're not going to have any nations anymore. We're going to be a world without borders. We're going to move into global governance through globalization, which is happening right now. And religions and religious conflict also causes war. Therefore, we're going to outlaw religious conflict. We're going to pass an anti-blasphemy law so that if anybody speaks against any other religion, it is going to be a hate crime. We're not going to tolerate it anymore. So we're going to have a global government, and we're going to have a global religion. And in order to force you into compliance, if you don't agree, then we won't give you your mark, and you will not be able to buy or sell. We're going to place every individual that refuses to bow the knee to the New World Order under economic sanction. Okay, that's where we are. Now, here's the big question. What should we do? Revelation 18:4, after describing this union between politics and religion in chapter 17, we get to verse number 4 of chapter 18. Now, here's what it says. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. We're going to have to get out of backslidden Christianity, and we're going to have to get back to the pattern of the book of Acts. We need a true New Testament church, an on-fire church that believes the Bible just like it is, that doesn't skip it, that doesn't change it, but believes it just like it is. Would you like to see a picture of the way the church will be in the end time? Daniel 11, 32 and 33 tells us, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he, the Antichrist, corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God," there's going to be some powerful Christians, "they will be strong, and they will do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many." So while everything is going downhill into the arms of the Antichrist, there's going to be a true church on fire, carrying the gospel, evangelizing the world. Now that's the church I want to be a part of.
Do you believe we're living in the end times? If so, what's the one magazine you should subscribe to? End Time is the magazine designed to guide you through the end times. Irvin highly recommends End Time magazine so you can stay informed with what's going on in the news and how it relates to Bible prophecy. Call 1-800-363-8463 and get End Time magazine for 2 years for only $29. Call 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com to take advantage of this special offer.
Our 14 lessons now include the United States discovered in the Bible, New World Order is world government, Islam in Bible prophecy, World War III, Israel's God-given destiny, Israel, God's prophetic time clock, Holy Roman Empire reborn, Antichrist and the false prophet, 666 Mark of the Beast, the secret pact between Gorbachev and the Vatican, when all religions become one, the seven trumpets, the second coming, and the kingdom of God established on earth. You want to have all 14 of these marvelous prophecy lessons. If you go through these 14 DVDs, each of them 1 hour, you are going to know more about Bible prophecy than the average student graduating from theological seminary. We need to know where we are right now. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." So the number to call is, one more time, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com.
Favor, prosperity, good health, purpose, abundant success. God's word contains wonderful blessings. But right now, you may feel as though these God-given promises are out of your reach. Your TBN wants to help. So we've handpicked a great resource for you from New York Times best-selling author and pastor John Hagee, The Power of the Prophetic Blessing.
When you read The Power of the Prophetic Blessing, you are going to receive that blessing, and you're going to feel that blessing be released on your family.
To thank you for your gift of any amount this month, we'll rush you Pastor Hagee's book, The Power of the Prophetic Blessing. In its pages, you'll discover the 8 prophetic blessings Jesus has already spoken over.